you're still very welcome. We are here to worship God today, and I'll explain a little bit more about what will be going on in a minute. But let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are welcome. Lord Jesus, you are welcome. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. You are welcome to come and be in this place. You are welcome to come and do what you seek to do today in us and through us. You are welcome to all that we are, all that we hope for, all that we dream of. Will you be center of everything that we do today? Thank you for your presence. Thank you for walking with us. And thank you for each one of us that can walk together. We give you this time, asking that you will bless us, encourage us, equip us and challenge us, that we might be more like Jesus for this community that we live amongst, that we work amongst, and we worship amongst. So thank you for your presence. Amen.
Amen.
So we're starting a new series this week. This is the introduction to it. Next week will be the sort of, I suppose, the proper start. But we're thinking about worship. What is worship? And I've got some very courageous people who have been willing to come and share a little bit about what is worship to them. So we're going to hear from four different people. We'll sing some songs, we'll take time to reflect, we'll pray together, and then we'll go home, or wherever you're going. But we want to know that God is with us. So this is our invitation to worship. Today, we come to worship a merciful God who offers salvation to all, without prejudice. Everyone who calls on his name will be saved. In the light of his wonderful mercy, in the light of all he has done for us, let us bring ourselves to him today. We bring all that we are as an offering of worship. May it be holy and pleasing to God. Amen. We're going to begin by singing, "Your Grace is Enough." That word "enough" a few years ago was my word of the year, because I never feel enough. But God is enough. It's not a small word. Enough is huge. It's eternity. God's grace is enough. Stand or sit as you feel you can.
Grace is enough, more than I need. At your word I will believe. I wait for you, draw near again. Let your Spirit make me new, and I will fall at your feet. I will fall at your feet. I will worship you here. Your presence in me, Jesus, light the way.
By the
power of your word, I am restored, I am redeemed. By your Spirit, I am free. I will fall at your feet, I will fall at your feet, and I will worship you here. Freely you gave it all for us. Surrendered your life upon that cross. Great is the love poured out for all. This is our God. Lifted on high from death to life. Forever our God is glorified. Servants and King rescued the world. This is our God.
And I will fall at your feet.
And I will fall at your feet. And I will worship you here.
And I will fall.
And I will fall at your feet.
And
I will fall at your feet. And I will worship you here.
And I will fall.
And I will fall at your feet. And I will fall at your feet. And I will worship you here.
Your grace is enough.
Your grace is enough. More than I need. At your word I will believe. I wait for you.
Draw near again. Your Spirit make me new, and I will fall at your feet, and I will fall at your feet, and I will worship you here. Your presence in me, Jesus, light the way. By the power of your word, I am restored, I am redeemed. By your Spirit, I am free, and I will fall at your feet, and I will fall at your feet, and I will worship you here, free.
Surrendered your life upon that cross. Great is the love poured out for all. This is our call. Lifted on high from death to life. Forever our God is glorified. Servants and King rescued the world. This is our God. All for us, surrendered your life upon that cross. Great is the love poured out for all. This is our God, lifted on high from death to life. Forever our God is glorified. Servants and King rescued the world. This is our God.
Let's just think about who God has been to you this week. Where have you seen him at work? Where have you needed him to be at work? Let's thank him for that. I will fall.
And I will fall at your feet.
And I will fall.
Okay. Any notices? I don't have any, but if anybody has any.
Morning, folks. I sent an email around to everybody who's on Church Suite 2-3 days ago, just about the idea of what we're going to try to do a little bit differently about the videos of the service. For many months since all the cameras were installed and stuff, we've been putting the videos of the service after the event on our website. It's caused us a little bit of a concern because that goes out to the big wide world, and in theory, anybody could watch it. And we're starting to worry about permissions and GDPR and people's safety and all that kind of stuff. So from January just gone, 2024, all of the sermons and recordings of the church services that are on our website now are only audio. And we'll go back and change those over the coming months so that there's no video just accessible to just Johnny Random. Zoom, however, will still be video, and the recording of the service will be video and available for a year, but only to people who have the link. So three things. One, there is now a little statement in your church suite that says you are okay with your image, you, being on the Zoom recording. And at the moment it says yes. So if you'd like it to be no, then there's two things that need to happen. One, you need to tell me. And two, you need to sit at the back. Because we're doing Zoom. And the bit that won't be recorded will be the cafe area. And the other thing is, that has totally escaped me, and it can't be that important. If it comes to me during the rest of these notices, I'll leap back and say something at the end. Oh yeah, that'll do. That wasn't it, but that'll do. The next thing is that those folks who bring kids, I would like you to take responsibility for that decision as well. And if you don't want them to be on the Zoom recording, then you're going to have to sit at the back corner. But I'll actually be asking you to sign your kids up to the little church suite thing as well, just because it's a nice thing for us to be able to have and to be able to involve them in the big grown-up world of church suite. But it allows you to tick some little boxes about permissions and stuff as well. So if the other thing comes to me, I'll leap back in. But there we go. So if you, to be honest, if you're happy with the status quo as it is just now, you don't have to do anything. If you don't want to be on the Zoom recording, you need to let me know, and you need to sit at the back. Thank you.
Morning. Danny and I are thinking of starting an encounter group, and this Wednesday, 1 o'clock, if you are interested, please come along. We're just going to have a bit of refreshment and a chat to see if anybody's interested in what they would like to see from the group. And well, that's it really, see what happens from there. There will be refreshments. It'd be good if you let me know so I can make you enough cups of tea or squash. But also, even if you haven't and you still want to come, please come, 1 o'clock Wednesday. Thank you.
Here.
Sorry, here. Thank you.
You have to speak into the microphone. You have to use a microphone.
Right, cups. Up to now, we've had, not the white one, we've had loads of these at church. Apart from a few at the back and these, this is all we have left. There will not be any more of these bought because we're trying to be more eco-friendly, and it's very hard to recycle these for various reasons. So, therefore, everybody is welcome to our church. Everybody's welcome to have a drink. There will be some of these at the back. If you'd like to volunteer once a month to help wash these up, let me know, please. Or can I encourage you, doesn't have to be Costa, I'll cover up the trade name, not on TV. Please bring a cup from home if you possibly can. If you don't know where to buy one and you want to buy one, let me know and I will go out shopping for you. I'm not going to pay, but and if there is anybody, seriously, you can't afford to buy it, seriously, you can't manage it, financially, we could look at that, couldn't we, Adam? So basically, we're going to change. After years and years, we're going to change. So please bring a cup from home, if at all possible, and take it home. We can't look after them all for the week. And just support us in this new venture. Thank you.
And that's the big thing. If you bring a cup, take it home with you. Because otherwise we just end up with big groups of them all sitting at the back. We're going to take up our offering. If you're a visitor, please let the bag just pass you by. But our offering is the way that we help to keep this building going and all the different things that we do. And also it helps us with things throughout the world that we support as well. So if you're able, then money in the bag. If you've not got money and you want to give today, we've got the card reader out in the foyer. And we're very grateful to those who put it into the bank regularly too. So our offering will round. Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a gracious and a faithful God. Thank you that you provide for us in many ways. Help us to be generous and faithful in the way that you are too. Thank you for this money in the bag, for the money in the bank. Thank you for our lives that we give to you and the service of your people in this place. Will you magnify all that we give? Will you multiply all of our efforts and our money so that your kingdom can be expanded in this place and throughout the world? We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So we're going to hear from the first person. So that the phrase I gave them was, what is worship to you? So we're going to hear from Jude, and then we'll sing a song after that. So
when Laura asked me what is worship, my brain instantly went to being in church, a full band, drums, trumpet, whatever, singing a really jolly old clappy happy song with the kids doing flags and all of that. That's where I went to straight away. But then actually I thought, no, I'll think about this. And what was interesting was it wasn't that was the most powerful form of worship for me. You right, Tobe? Yes, Tobe? The most important or the most meaningful worship for me is, it's a bit difficult to do it with Tobe running because it's about being still, and I don't feel still right now, so... Right, Toby. Bribery always works. And I couldn't talk about what I want to talk about because it's about being still. And it was like I couldn't because obviously Tobe's only little. So the most powerful, no, it's not the most powerful because every bit of worship is different, but a worship style that I love is one where I'm normally in the Lake District, maybe Wales, maybe at the seaside. Ian, I'm going to say Leverswater, top of the copper mines, just that little bit that snakes up. It's not that hard a walk, but you feel like you've done something because you've got great views. And I love to sit in stillness and quietness. And it's the opposite of me loving noisy worship. But I love the fact that I can sit and watch and look and feel and empty out all the things that life gives you. And you just go, oh, look at this world God has created. Look at this fantastic mountain range. Look at that horizon. Listen to the thunder of that water. Look at the stillness of the lake. Feel the breeze on your face, or sometime at Leverswater, feel the gale that blows at you. It's all about being in God's creation. God's creation was perfect. We've messed some of it up, but up in the Lake District, there's still some untouched corners. You'll have your own special places. And when I get there, and I like to be alone, actually, or in companionable silence with people, I sit, I empty out, and I just look at what God's done. And I think, why should God care for me? Huge, beautiful mountains, and yet God sees me right there. God cares for me right there. God loves me right there. And I know I'm a really important part of his creation, as we all are. But it takes a stillness to be able to worship like that. And so these are some of the words I might say and think or even sing if there's no one around. I might say, Lord God, I am in awesome wonder when I think about all the things that you've made. The stars, the mountains, the universe that we look at. When I think about the woods and the forest glades, when I hear the birds, when I look down from this mountain, lofty mountain grandeur, when I hear the brook and I feel the gentle breeze. Then when I think of that God gave Jesus so that I could be in that place of worship, that makes my soul sing. That makes my inside want to shout out, thank you, Lord God, for what you've done. And so you may have guessed the song I've chosen. And some of the words, guys, are how great thou art. Does anyone talk like that these days? I might say, Kelvin, how art thou? Oh, he's cool, that's fine. But you wouldn't normally talk like that. So all it means is, it's an old, 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 old hymn. All it means is, God, how great are you? That's all it means. But we're just using fancy words. So here we go. Thanks.
Thank you, Jude. So we are going to stand together and sing, How Great Thou Art.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. When through the wood and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. And when I think that God His Son, not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. Then on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, joy shall fill my heart. Then shall I bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art.
Well done. Please take a seat. I'm going to invite Josh now to come and share his response to that question.
Hello, everyone. Morning. Oh, morning, morning. So what is worship? So worship to me is praising God and honoring Him. So I think that looks like many things. The most common, I would say, is singing in church with worship music on a Sunday. But I think you can worship through work. For me, one thing I do is go to the gym. The Bible says our body is a temple where the Holy Spirit lives. So when going to gym, sometimes I use it as an act of worship. So that looks like praying before workouts, giving the workout to God and asking Him to bless it. And then sometimes even listening to worship music or like a Christian podcast while doing that. I hope this is like a every answer's right kind of a question. So, because I don't want to stand up and talk, you know. So another way I'd say I'd worship is like putting 100% into work that you do, especially when you don't feel like doing it, and honoring God that way. So when working at JD, I would often pray beforehand and declare that I give the day and the shift to God, and that he can shine his light through me throughout the day. And then even when I started at the gym here, doing classes sometimes in front of up to 14 people can get a bit, you know, intimidating. So there'll be times where you can get anxious. So a few times I'd walk around the area and just declare that space for God, asking him to bless it. And I feel like that could be seen as worship through work as well. Finally, I'd say even journaling could be seen as an act of worship, and reflecting on the events and thoughts that you've gone through and been through, and working on being thankful and grateful to God for all of it as well. The song we picked was "The Battle Belongs to the Lord." That's a good song for like when you're feeling a bit anxious going to work, or when you're about to do something like driving for the first time. That's a good song that just puts everything out there for God. So that's what we picked.
It's definitely a question that no answer is wrong. So let's stand if we're able and declare that the battle belongs to the Lord. Many times, especially in the Old Testament, the people of Israel were told to go and stand and watch and wait and see God in action. Sometimes our activity gets in the way, and sometimes we just have to wait. In the New Testament, we're told as well to be still and know, to see God. So the battle belongs to the Lord. In heavenly armor we'll enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon is fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, belongs to the Lord. You raise up the standard, the power of his blood. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength. In heart, do not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend, your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power. Kids Church go out now, so we're going to pray for them as they go, and so let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we are a family together. Thank you that you want to speak to us, whatever our age, whatever our situation. And I pray that our children will have a great time with Jude and whoever else is out with them, and that they will be able to share with us all that you teach them in the same way as we can share with them what you teach us. So bless and encourage them, we ask, in your name, Jesus. Amen. Brilliant. Right, I'm going to ask Deanne to come and share what she responded to that question. What is worship?
Not long ago here, I heard somebody say that worship and praise are different to each other. And I've thought quite a lot about that since. I looked up the dictionary definition of both of these words, and what it said was that praise is expressing respect and gratitude to God, whereas worship is the feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for God. I can choose to worship God at any work. I can choose to praise God and do that even on a bad day. But worship is different, because worship, for me anyway, is something that wells up inside of me. Sometimes it takes me completely by surprise, and occasionally it even blows me away. And I think I've tried to explain what it is, but metaphorically, it's like standing and gazing in wonder upon our amazing, almighty Father and God. There are three usual triggers for me for worship, and one, like Judy, is God's creation. The second is seeing God at work, either in my own life or in the life of others, and how things have worked out. And the third is reading scripture, because even though I might have read passages over and over in my life, suddenly one day one of them stands out and there's a new truth in it. So those are my three usual triggers. So first of all, God's creation. And a bit like Judy, really, what a lot of what Judy was saying was what would be in this as well for me. God's creation is just so beautiful. And it is so vast, but it's also so detailed. It's just amazing. And for me, it's mountains that often play a part as I look at the strength and so-called immovability of mountains. And certainly stars and galaxies and space. It's just too big for my mind, that is. So what about the God who made it? And both of those and many other things to stir my spirit to worship. The second thing is witnessing that God is at work in power in the life, in perhaps my life at certain times and the lives of others, how he's brought circumstances together perhaps, how there have been chance meetings that led to things happening, answers to prayers. I've seen and I've experienced his healing power at times throughout my life, his wisdom that he's given, which has changed and altered a situation, his guidance and his help. I could go on and on, really. And as I see that sometimes, it's just overwhelming at the way he's worked. And then thirdly, in reading scripture. And it's certainly one of the best ways to get to know God better. And one of many, many, many over the years is John 17 and verse 20 onwards, which is the Last Supper, probably pretty much the worst day of Jesus's life, that time of his life when he was going to go to the cross. And I read that towards the end of chapter 17, it says he was praying for me, and for you, each one of you too. At that time of his life, he was doing that. And that just blew my mind when I realized that for the first time, and invokes that worship from within. So, last of all, I want to just finish with a story that includes all three of these: creation, God at work, and scripture. It's something that happened in August 1999, down on the clifftops at Babbicombe Bay, Babbicombe Downs, if anybody knows it, and that's when the total eclipse of the sun happened. I stayed with my sister-in-law in Torquay because it was going to be, as far as I could get down, to be the most complete place, apparently. Early in the morning, we set out with our picnic chairs and our picnic and our special spectacles that we'd had to buy to be able to look at this here eclipse. And we walked and we joined at least at least 250, if not up to about 300 other people who'd got the same idea as us. And we set up our little place on the top of the cliffs at Babbicombe. When it came to it, we were all able to watch as the light slowly faded. And as the darkness deepened more and more, a hush fell over the birds, over everything. There just was no sound at all. There was a stillness and actually a cold chill in the air. And then came the utter darkness, the deep darkness, where I couldn't see anybody. You know, my sister-in-law sitting at the side of me couldn't see a single thing. There was deep darkness, there was blackness, and a total lack of light. And it made me feel really isolated, quite, when I say afraid, in a funny sort of way. It was weird, it was unnerving, and it was quite profound. And it lasted long enough to feel quite overwhelming. It made me very aware of the majesty and the might and the power and the creativity of God. Made me think about that day, Genesis, isn't it? And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Over the horizon of the sea, the diamond ring effect appeared, first of all, as the sun returned. And as the light returned and the sun reappeared from behind the moon, quite amazing, applause started. Tears come to my eyes. It included us three, but all over the clifftop, everybody was applauding, and so were the people down on the sea in their boats watching this too. And that was absolutely amazing. It made me think, who do they think, or what do they think they're applauding here? It was an immensely moving memory for me, as you can probably gather from me talking about it this morning. And it invoked in me that deep worship, because worship is something that comes from within. You don't just choose to say some words to God. It's something that you're trying to offer for God. This was an experience of the universe that God had made. How much greater is the God who'd made it all that we were all applauding?
Thanks, Deanne. We're going to sing a couple of songs now that both talk about the goodness and the faithfulness of God. So let's stand if you're able.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me
that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. And you're perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think. As you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still into love, love. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
And God's goodness seeks us out. Before we knew him, he came to find us. And this might be our response to him.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire and the darkest times. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father, known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of
the goodness of God. I will say, your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down and surrendered now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
All my life you have been faithful.
All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able,
I will sing of the goodness of God.
I will sing of the goodness of
God.
I will sing of the goodness of God.
Going to invite Sunday and whoever else, if anyone else is joining you, but Sunday to come and share his response or their response. Sunday and Yeti.
Good morning, church. So what is worship? So in my view, worship is to honor, exalt, reverence, just lift up the name of the Most High God. And there's a scripture that comes to mind readily, and that's John 4:24. John 4:24 says that, for God is a spirit, and those that worship him must do so in spirit and in truth. So the question I ask myself is that, what does it mean to worship God in spirit and in truth? And my understanding of that is that worshiping God in spirit means to worship him from the depth of our hearts, from our spirit man. And worshiping him in truth is to worship him with all sincerity, regardless of our situation or circumstance we may find ourselves or what life may throw our way. So for me, worship illustrates our confidence in God. And for me also, there's a slight difference between praise and worship. Like Diane mentioned earlier, I picked something from that. So for me, praise is based on what God has done. Why? Worship is about who God is. So it's about his personality, it's about his nature, it's about his consistency, it's about his attributes. So that's worship for me. For instance, I worship God because He's the Almighty. He desires and deserves my worship. I worship him because he's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the ending, and even everything in between. I worship him because he's the omniscient, the all-knowing, the all-seeing, the all-wise God. So for me, worship comes from that place of relationship with him. Worship for me is a form of communion with the Father. So this is my view of worship. I hope it makes sense.
So just to add to, and it almost looks as if, you know, we spoke with each other, but I have two verses of the scripture, and one of them was the one he mentioned. thinking about worship, two scriptures. The first is John chapter 4, verse 24, that he read, and it just explains how we worship God. It says, God is spirit, and those that worship him most worship him in spirit and in truth. And that's, you know, for that shedding light on, you know, how we're supposed to worship God. We're supposed to worship God in spirit and in truth. And the second one that explains worship for me is Psalms 95:6-7. It says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And when I was thinking about, you know, just meditating on what to say, what came to mind was, you know, in at home in Africa, we have kings, and, you know, when you would go to a king's palace, you'd want to, like, pay homage, and everybody, you know, will just bow their heads down, and you just have to do that when you approach a king. For me, worship is the same thing. When we approach God, we have to come that bowing down doesn't necessarily mean we have to like bow. I mean, we can bow physically, but it just means to show reverence to God. And in showing reverence is just, you know, paying him homage, you know, telling him who he is, respecting God, and just worshiping God for who he is. And in saying that, I'll just say that I also feel worship is a personal time. It's a personal, you know, encounter with God. And then that's why when you're worshiping God, it's you can either do it alone or you do it while you're with people. And when the Bible says, in that joint, says worshiping God in spirit and in truth. How do you worship God in spirit? That means you have to, you know, shut off all distractions and just focus, let our focus be on God. And that's why you see when most people are worshiping, you close your eyes and all of that. It's just because, you know, you want to ward off every form of distraction, because God really wants us to worship, and it's a very important part of, you know, our service to God, our praying. As a family together with Sunday, you know, we tend to have worship, you know, we call it
family
devotion. And because, you know, the week, everybody is busy and everything, we always make it a point of contact to, we always make sure we do it at least on Saturday. So every Saturday we come together as a family and then we worship God, we praise God, and, you know, just explain the importance of worship. And we also decided that one hymn that does it for us is
the Immortal,
Immortal, Invisible. God. It's a very powerful hymn. We tend to sing it every time we come together as a family. And it says, Immortal, Invisible, God only wise, in wise, inaccessible, hid from the skies, most precious, most blessed, most glorious,
ancient
of days, almighty, victorious.
May his name be praised.
May his name be praised forever.
I don't have the gift of singing.
Okay, we're not going to sing that hymn, but we are going to just have a little a song that helps us to reflect, which Sunday had said it's about us worshipping in spirit and in truth. And without the spirit, we're just like that noisy clang that Paul talks about. We're just making a noise. So we are called to come and worship in spirit and in truth. So this song says, This song says, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Inhabit my worship. Help me to worship. You choose whether you want to stand, sit, or kneel, or lie. It's nice that Sunday and Yeti talked about posture as well. As we come before God, we give him our reverence. We bow down to him. That might be physical, but you choose.
Break me, melt me, melt.
just wait in this moment and receive all that God would have us have. And Lord God, we are broken vessels. We leak. I thank you that you come each day and you fill us anew. Father, I pray where you need to break us, that you will do that. That we entrust ourselves to you, the master potter, who can take something that's broken and make it beautiful. Where you need to melt us. It makes me think of our cold hearts at times. Will you melt our hearts that we might be responsive to the things that affect you? And as you mold us, thank you for your word that says that you want to transform us to be all that we can be to show you Jesus. And then fill us up to overflowing, that we cannot keep to ourselves the things that you have shared with us, the experiences we've had, the way that you have worked in us, your generosity, your faithfulness, your goodness. Help that to flow out from us, that many will know you because of meeting with us. So we are broken, but you are the master, that you can make beauty from ashes. You can make extraordinary from the ordinary. And thank you that you take us and you use us. And we ask that your kingdom will be extended and glorified. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to watch a video now. This video is by a lady called Lauren Daigle, and she writes some amazing songs. So Carol sent this to me, and I just felt I wanted to share it with you. I don't know how you feel today. You might be thinking, well, yes, I've heard all of this, and I know worship's really good, but I'm just not in that place. And this says, look up, child, look up. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Look up.
Where are you now when darkness seems to end? Where are you now when the world is crumbling? Oh, look up, child. Hey,
Okay. So we've heard a lot today. We've heard a lot about what worship means to different people, how they worship, how they find that space with God. And we're going to be thinking over the next few weeks about what is worship and how can it be part of everything that we do. We are created to worship. You only need to go to football matches to see that. Deanne said about people applauding when the sun broke through. We are created to give worship to things. But God says he is the one ultimately that is worthy of all our praise and all our worship. So you might be sitting there thinking, well, I would like to share some of my thoughts. And that is fab. What I would say is grab me or email Ali or email any of the leadership and let us know what works for you. Where have you really experienced God? What is really special for you? And for a lot of us, it will be the same sort of things. But do let us know, because we're going to be thinking about this. Have you got the PowerPoint? If you click on, please. Thank you. So this is what we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks. We're going to be thinking about how it engages in our whole life. And a few people have already said that. And praying before they do their gym session. Thinking about, as family, how we do stuff. So how does it engage our whole life? Or maybe I should turn the question around and say, does it engage our whole life? Are we aware of God when we're doing everyday things? We're going to think about it might offer us a fresh insight. Insight to ourselves and to situations and things like that. It transforms our everyday actions. I don't know about you. I'm not a massive fan of washing up and cleaning and because as quick as you do it, it's back again. But could it transform the way I do that? If I worship God in it and everything you do, do it as if you're doing it to the Lord. Even if it's the worst job in the world. So could it transform our everyday actions? Could it inspire our everyday speech? Steve spoke to us a few weeks ago when we were thinking about wisdom and the wisdom of where we use our words, about how to use them wisely. Can worship actually have an impact on how we speak and then focus in our wavering heart? We all have times when we're a bit wobbly and we're not too sure about how to get on and do things. So these are the things that we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks. And I thought I would just read a bit from Romans 12. We're actually going to look in a bit more detail of that next week. I'm going to read it from the Message because I just think the way it phrases it is great. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its levels of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. He develops well-formed maturity in you. So God helping us, let's take our everyday, ordinary lives. Jesus took bread and wine and made something exceptional from it. He can take us and make something exceptional for his glory. So this week, as you're thinking about worship, think about what you're doing. Include God in it. If there's a task that you really don't want to do, think about how can I worship God in this? We have heard a lot about our posture, about our heart, about our desires, and about just letting go. I don't know about you. Have you ever let go in worship? Were you just, there was a phrase, let go and let God. Will you just allow God to work through you?
And our worship starts, it is a personal thing with us first, but that personal worship becomes a public worship that then allows people to see Jesus in us. It transforms us, as Romans 12 says, from the inside out. We sang, I think it might only be last week or the week before, Shine from the Inside Out, so the world can see what he's doing in you. We're going to come to a close now, and I'm going to do a little bit of teasy, because the whole idea is to think of worship in the broadest sense possible. So I'm going to do some prayers, and as I pray, at the end of it, we're going to sing the refrain of, O Lord, hear our prayers. Because we're saying to God, we want you to hear us. We know you do, but we need to remind ourselves that you do. So there'll be different sections. I'll leave a little gap, and then we will sing that refrain, and then we'll be finishing. So again, posture yourself as you want to. We are coming to the great King, the most amazing King. You might want to think about your posture as we come to speak to him. Lord God, we bring ourselves, our hopes, our dreams, our worries and our fears. We open our hearts and minds to you and ask you to heal, to strengthen, and to equip us for each day and whatever we might face. Lift up our families and ask you for wisdom, peace, and patience as we seek to see you at work in and among them. May we be good channels of all that you want to be to them and to do for them.
Lord, hear my prayer.
Pray for our communities in church and outside of church. God, will you help us to shine with compassion, hope, and love as we seek the well-being of all in the areas that we find ourselves in.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
We pray for our country, the nations, and the world. At this time of political change, we ask you to raise up those who stand for justice. Give us wisdom as we go to vote. We pray for an end to the conflicts around the world and ask you to strengthen and comfort those who are oppressed, especially those who follow you, Jesus.
O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. When I call, answer me. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. Come to me.
And this short silence, this is your opportunity to share your thoughts and your prayers. You and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. And may you know him this week, walking close with you, directing you, helping you, and sustaining you. May God bless us and make us a blessing to those that we meet this week for his glory. Amen. Thank you ever so much.